I've seen that video probably, I don't know, half a dozen times now. And every time I see it, it makes me think a little bit more, a little bit deeper. What's this all really about? What is it that God wants to do when he said, take one day out of seven and rest? I never thought about it in terms of a date, God wanting to spend time with us, and I think that is absolutely true. If you read through Scripture, God loves, this is amazing to me, God loves to spend time with us. He longs for us to long for him. And while that is true, it is also important for us to know this, that while God wants to spend time with us, we need to spend time with him. You see, God doesn't need us, but we need him. And as much as God longs for us to be with him, we need to have him in our lives. We need to come to him. We need that date. God wants it with us. We need it with him. Because if we don't have it, frankly, our world goes pear-shaped in a very horrible way. So here we are at the end of the first four of the Ten Commandments that are in the Old Testament part of the Bible. And those four that we've looked at and talked about the last number of weeks are, you shall have no other gods, you shall have no idols, you will respect the name. Remember, that was last week. Today it's remember to rest. Remember to rest. Take your Bibles with me. Let's look at it together. Page 177, if you've got the red Bibles under your chairs, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5. The short version of the background I've given multiple times now is that the nation of Israel has come through wilderness wanderings for 40 years. They had received these commandments at a prior time, and now they're being refreshed on what they are as they get ready to enter into the promised land of Canaan, okay? So here they are, about to enter. Moses comes to them and says to them, under the authority of God, here are the guidelines for how to have a relationship, vertical relationship with me. Before you talk about relating with one another in your family, your friends, your neighborhood, and the tents that are all set up here in the wilderness, let's talk first and foremost about you and God. Four commandments. Four central statements that will guide a strong and vital, healthy relationship with the Creator of the universe. No gods, no idols, respect the name, and here's the fourth. Look at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox nor your donkey, nor any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as you do. Notice how comprehensive that is. I mean, everybody who's living in a vicinity around you that you have any contact with, all of you need a rest. And then verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, always good to ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? We'll get to that in a minute. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. All right. I don't know what Sunday was like for you growing up, but for me, it was two things. You go to church, and you don't play hockey. Those were the two guidelines for Sunday. You go to church twice, and you don't play hockey. It's a little bit like what 8-year-old Danny Dutton said, guy from Chula Vista, California, who said these words, you should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something that would be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach till noon anyway. There you go. All the reasons you need and a little bit more. So, this morning we're talking about the Sabbath day. What is it really about? The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease, to stop, to rest, to pause. About pause. It's about stopping. It's about hitting the button where things go quiet before you hit the play button to go on with life in the week. But do you pause? 1 out of 7. Do you pause? Not 1 out of 10. The French tried that as an experiment, I believe, during the French Revolution. Didn't work. People burned out. Not 1 out of 10, 1 out of 7. Speaking of pause, do you have pause moments in your life? You go on vacation, and let's say you're trying to save money, so you drive instead of fly, and you're going down the highway. Do you ever pause at one of those rest areas? Do you ever stop, get off the road just so you can relax a bit, take a bathroom break? Do you ever stop at those rest areas? Or do you just barrel on through because you got to get to where you're going? How about in the course of your life as a whole? Do you pause? This commandment we're going to learn this morning is about far more than going to church and what you shouldn't do in terms of activity. It's about pausing in order to get your life recalibrated. It's about stopping long enough to understand the bigger picture of what God is doing and where you fit in it. And it's about making some reevaluative kind of decisions that will help you to reengage in a healthy way. But do you pause? One person who I've spent some time with recently set his cell phone to an alarm that would go off a couple of times a day. And when the alarm went off, that was his reminder to pause and to just meditate on God and think about what he was doing in his day. So we're driving down the highway, and his alarm goes off. And we're in the middle of this great conversation, and all of a sudden he goes quiet. And I'm thinking to myself, what's he doing? He's like ignoring me. I'm thinking to myself, what a great way to just exit out of a conversation you don't want. But what a great way to remind himself to pause. Do you pause? Or do you press? You see, that's the alternative. You press on. We went to Prince Edward Island a few weeks ago. Our family, Ingrid has family up at the east end of Canada. 1,600 miles. We like to do it in one shot. So off we go. We leave at 5 o'clock at night, and we just barrel on through. Those rest areas, we don't have time for them. We stop for gas and bathroom breaks, provided they're short, and we keep right on going. Because it's 28 hours. Who wants to make it 35 hours, right? But what an analogy for so much of our lives. We just barrel on through. Destination is what we're aiming for. And we just keep on going because we want to get there. Now I want you to go back to the Bible text that I read a few minutes ago. Still got your Bibles open? If not, pull it back out. You got to look at it. Page 177, Deuteronomy 5. After all this initial language about observing the Sabbath day by keeping it holy and not working and resting, you'll see it there in verse 14. Now you get to verse 15. And if you look at that text, here's what you discover. That the reason why God gave this guideline to the Israelites is because they had been part of a pauseless existence for 400 years. They had been pressing. Only the pressing was imposed on them. It wasn't self-mitigated. Opposed on them by the Egyptians, who thought they were worthless pieces of dirt, who subjected them to the most horrific kind of physical labor and let them die in the sand, building their pyramids, building their empire. That's all they were good for. A pauseless existence. Press, press, press. No need for breaks. You're a worthless piece of dirt. Just work. That's all you're good for. It's because that was their experience that God gave to them this commandment, which was for them an amazing blessing. Could you imagine, after 400 multiple generations of people living and dying, without a break, God comes along and says, I rescue you and I give you rest. Wow! What a God. What a blessing and a privilege. This doesn't feel like a negative thing at all. This is the thing we have craved for generations, for hundreds of years. And yet, we tend over time to slip back into that oppression, only it's now self-made. Think about this. There's no Egyptian standing over you with a whip. It might feel like your boss is that way, but not really. So what is it that makes us press so hard? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we hold ourselves to captivity of activity? Why do we refuse to hit the pause button and let silence reign so we can recalibrate our life to the God who loves us so much that He gave us 1 out of 7 to rest? Why? We got Facebook to catch up on in MySpace. We got Twitter and we got email. And then we got the cell phone, which is now becoming outdated. On and on and on. We've got iTunes that are blasting all time or the video games that are going. Even our leisure time is filled to the max. Let alone the work that we got to do 24/7. Could it be that one of the issues really is that we think so low of ourselves and of our God that we actually fall trap to the same pattern that was evident in the Egyptians with Israel? That we actually think so low of our own dignity, or rather of the majesty of the Creator who gave us dignity, that we just don't think pause is important. Think about it. Of course, there are moments when all of us do pause. Some of us were just, well, I mean, you're exhausted and you crash, right? But that's not really pause. That's sleep. Or the attempt at sleep. That's not what this is about. Some of us really have paused, though, when you hit a crisis. Remember after 9/11? I bet some of you would, how many of you remember where you were when you heard about the Twin Towers coming down? Look at that. Look around. That was a moment of pause, right? It sticks in your memory. Everything stopped. And I would dare say many of us who lived through it and saw it thought a little bit about the meaning of our lives. What this is really all about. How quickly the world could change. How quickly my life. You have that maybe when you lose your job. You walk out, you know, they walk you to the doors, they do in corporate America. You take your stuff with you, you stand in the parking lot with your little box of stuff, and you say, wow, what's my life about? You get a serious medical diagnosis or medical emergency. Somebody comes to your door and serves divorce papers. Whoa, a moment of pause. What is this about? What's my life really about? My prayer is that you and I will take this commandment and think about it on the deeper level than just let's go to church on Sunday and let's not work. Those are two important things, but that's only a part of the whole. That we'll really stop long enough to say, what is it about life and life with God? Do you know that if we break the Sabbath day, the issue isn't so much even that we disobey God, though that is true. The truth is that we are broken on the Sabbath day. Because if you will not pause, then your life will not have meaning. If you will not stop to consider the value of your life, the value will be given to you by your boss, by the schizophrenic craziness of the stress levels of life and culture around you. So what is Sabbath really about? I have a guy I know who actually wrote the materials for a leadership class who said this: Sabbath is resistance to a pauseless existence. I like that. Sabbath is resistance to a life without pause wherein we lose ourselves. It's the resistance that allows us to look at what life is really about. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Remember that there was a time in which you did not have any opportunity to pause, and now I, the Lord your God, who made you, have blessed you with this gift. So resist the pauseless existence. Resist the captivity of activity and stop. Now, of course, the tendency is to go the other way, right? We go from, hey, let's pause, let's enjoy what God has given, to let's bury this commandment in a plethora of guidelines and restrictives so that we can control it. And you see that all the time. I still don't understand why I couldn't play hockey on Sunday. The Israelites had a few guidelines, actually dozens or more. Among them, there were 39 actually, clarifications of work. One of them was, you can't lift anything heavier than a dried fig on Sunday. So picking up half a fig was okay, but be careful. Maybe you really shouldn't, because if you drop the fig, you might be tempted to pick it up. Half a fig plus half a fig is a full fig equals sin. All right? Women should not gaze in the mirror. This is one of their rules. Don't gaze in the mirror, because if you see a white hair, you might be tempted to pluck it, and that would be work. Today, if you drive through Jerusalem, certain parts of Jerusalem, the Orthodox parts, you might get stones thrown at your car because you're working. The elevator lifts in a lot of places are automatic on Sunday, because otherwise you might be tempted to lift your finger to push the button. That's work. My friends, that was never God's intention to narrow it that way. It was meant to be a time of pause to recalibrate our life. Look at Mark 6, verse 30, 31. Let's put that up on the wall. The apostles gathered around Jesus, we're told, and reported to him all that they had done and taught. They had been sent out to do ministry and mission work. And then we're told, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't have a chance to eat, he said to them, let's split up so we can be more effective. You go here, you go here, you go here, and let's work till midnight, and we'll get up at 5 a.m. the next morning because more people will be coming. Think of how many more people we could reach. Look what he said. Jesus said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Productive America wouldn't buy that. They would say, you got to strike while the iron's hot. This is the moment. Let's capitalize on it. Jesus said, the time for rest is now. The time to recalibrate and get refocused. And then we'll go back. So let's talk about Sabbath as a stepping back. Sabbath as a stepping back, away from the margin of the full extent of what you could do, the maximization of what, let's step back from that to a healthier place. And as we think about that, Mark 2, verse 27, 28, the text that was in the video comes back, where Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, don't regulate this thing to death, but let the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath, let him provide for it what he wants it to be for you. A time for rejuvenation, not a time for strict regulation. What happens when we step back? Number one, we see God at work. Now, this is the point in the sermon where I'm just guessing. It's going to be easy to start to drift, okay? But if you do, you're going to miss the most important thing of all, and that's right here. When we step back, we see God at work. What does that mean? What it means is that what God is about doing is more important than what you or I are about doing. If you stop on Sunday, okay, Now, let me get a little bit of quick information. Sabbath day in the Old Testament was Saturday. In the New Testament, in the light of Jesus being raised from the dead on Sunday, the day over time, over history, shifted to Sunday. So now Sunday is our day of rest, generally. For some people, it's a work day because you have no choice. But for most people, in any case, 1 out of 7, a day of rest. And what God does for us is He allows us and calls us to stop and to recognize as we stop, listen, God is still at work. And so on Monday morning, when your alarm goes off, you wake up to a world in which God is already working. And you, in a sense, get into your car with God already in the driver's seat, and you go with Him to do the work He's still doing. In other words, forgive me if this sounds patronizing, but it's for me as much as you. What you do isn't so important. It's not that it lacks value. Okay, that's not the point. But we put ourselves in the place of God so often. When we refuse to pause, we put ourselves at the pinnacle of all we do, and it's all important, and it'll all fall apart if I don't get it done, because it's all about me. And God says, time out. 1 out of 7, time out. So you can recalibrate and understand this simple fact. This is my world, not yours. It's my business, not yours. It's my home, not yours. The kids that are in your house are mine, not yours. Really. And when you get that straight, when you see God at work, then you have the ability to see the value of what you do in conjunction with what God is already about. Does that make sense? Nod your heads if it does. God is at work. Most important thing you could hear this morning. Stopping is what that is all about. The other stuff we can cover pretty quickly. Second, we know our worth apart from our accomplishment. Here's what we learn. When you stop, we learn that we are human beings, not human doings. Some people say, you know, what if thousands of years from now, some other aliens come down to this planet and see what, you know, get a sense of what our life here was all about? What would they think? I think they would think we were a bunch of human doings. You just did. This commandment says, listen, come and rest a while. See God at work and see that you are a being. Before Amelia Gray Stewart does anything of productiveness for society, she is loved and treasured by her God. Amen? And guess what? What is true of a little child is equally true of you who are 53 years old sitting here this morning. Your worth is not linked to what you do. It is the grace of God. And then finally, we reflect on the what and the why of our doings. So then we go back to what we've got to do in the week and all the stuff that's still going on, that's still waiting for us after this conversation is done. We go back to it, but with a different frame of mind. And out of it, we make some changes. We make some changes. William Wilberforce in the 19th century, a member of the English Parliament, said, "Blessed be to God for the day of rest wherein earthly things assume their true size." So I go back to my work and I say to myself, listen, this is important. But I want to do the things that are really important to God here. So what happens around the water cooler when I talk to people is important, not just getting that financial report accomplished for my boss. I go to school this week. It's not just important that I get to all my classes on time and that I try not to fall asleep on my teacher so I don't get a detention. It's also important that I do my studying because God's got something He wants to teach me and prepare me for in the next steps of my life. And when I go out for lunch, who I sit with really matters, because there are kids who don't have any connection to anybody, and God cares for them because they're human beings, not human doings. So what I do with them really matters too. and we begin to think about issues that are much bigger than our regular day, like justice and fairness and the poor people and those who don't have health insurance, and we begin to care for those who have not. Because the things of God really matter to us when we take one out of seven. So you see, it's not just about worship and not working. It's about getting ready to do the things that God really wants us to do. That is so important. And so as we wrap it up, let me just say this to think about. Sabbath is a sanctuary in time and space. Sabbath is not just what we do here on Sunday morning. It is really this idea out there in time and space. It's where you stop and sit in a chair or walk through the forest or go into your bedroom and you turn the tunes off, you shut the mind down or spend long enough so your mind can slow down, and you think about God. And you think about the fact that God loves us so much to give us value in life and to listen for what that is and to think about what He wants you to do and then get ready to go back with that in mind. So yes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is a little bit like having a date with God. It's something God wants. But way more than that, it's something you and I need. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, as we get ready to leave this place, our kids from the nursery, head back home. Many things are waiting for us there, things that will occupy our attention this week. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to reflect long on what this commandment means for us today. To take advantage of the privilege you give us to pause and for a little while not to press. In order that when the pressing of life comes back on us, we will have the frame of reference to handle it well and to honor you in it. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much to give us Sabbath. Amen.